Welcome to ITFM Insights, the podcast where we explore all things IT financial management. I'm your host, Chiara Zapanta, and today we're looking at a critical turning point for IT finance teams. It's about why spreadsheets eventually fail and what happens when organizations outgrow them. Joining us today is Eugene Tay, Principal Solution Consultant at Apptio. Eugene, thanks for being here and joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Awesome. So let's just jump right into it. Could you tell a little bit about yourself and your background and role at Apptio?
For sure. So I'm very humbled to be here today. Pleasure for me to be on this podcast. Just a little background of myself prior to Apptio. I've been in the IT industry for a while, and I definitely have all these privileges to serve customer as an architect, process consultant, and engagement manager, solution implementer across various technology. Things like around IT security, IT service management, data center management, cloud and virtualization. So quite a fair bit that I've done. I eventually joined Apptio in 2018 as a senior solution consultant. But what really drew me to this role was the opportunity to help organizations solve one of the most important or most complex challenges in modern business. How do they make sense of their technology investment and demonstrating clear value from IT spend? So in my role itself, I have to work with senior leaders like CIOs, with finance teams, with cloud centers of excellence on the adoption of technology business management and FinOps practices, helping them mature in their processes using Apptio solution. Now, what's fascinating is throughout these years in Apptio, I've witnessed environments that are relatively simple. Those managing maybe between $10 to $20 million in technology spend to complex portfolios exceeding hundreds of millions of dollars across hybrid clouds, AI investments, and labor resources. Over these 7 years, I've seen the same pattern repeatedly. Organization reach a breaking point where their traditional spreadsheet simply cannot scale. The transformation I facilitate is about adopting and implementing a new software, fundamentally changing how organizations work with technology, such that technology can be a business enabler rather than just a call center.
Awesome. Yeah, that was an awesome intro. So you really clearly seen IT financial management from every angle. And, you know, you mentioned this idea of organizations hitting a breaking point. So I do want to unpack that a little bit more. You know, what are the most common signs that IT finance teams have, have outgrown spreadsheets?
Yeah, certainly I can. So I think there's probably five reasons that I can think about. Number one is when their monthly financial close takes longer than the actual months that they have to report upon. I've seen organizations where gathering and reconciling IT cost data takes about 6 to 8 weeks, making the insights virtually useless for decision making. The second one is around data conflicts. Now, because of the fact spreadsheets tends to be stored by one person, it makes it very hard for different departments to report on the numbers itself. Now, people will come, somebody will say they see these numbers, another person will say they see another numbers. The finance team view of, take for example, the finance team view of cloud spend may differ by 30, 40% from what IT operation shows, potentially creating, like what I was saying, multiple versions of the truth itself. Now, the third thing about spreadsheet is the risk of people leaving or tribal knowledge. Now, this is especially so when one or two people hold all the knowledge about the financial models or the processes. Now, if they happen to leave the company or they're unavailable because they're out sick or they have a family emergencies, then you could potentially have a break in the entire process. This obviously creates risks to the organization because that information is no longer available. Now, the fourth reasons could be around versioning. We all heard about this before, where finance teams would go around distributing templates, gathering back the response from the templates itself. Eventually, what happens here, teams are trying to just figure out where is the latest version because so many people are sending different spreadsheets. It's almost hard to track all of them and be on top of your game of the final version that's being sent to you. Now, obviously, no environments are static. Everybody is trying to use technology for innovations. So spreadsheet may work for a small environments when you have 50 applications, but eventually when you come to a time when you have like 500 applications, you know, that spreadsheet becomes a big spreadsheets. Load time increases, formulas can be breaking, and obviously the risk of errors multiplies by itself. So I would say that the most telling sign is when teams spend more time in gathering and formatting data and spend less time analyzing, maybe 80% on doing the work, 20% on analyzing the data. That's probably the point where we start to say it's probably not good just to use spreadsheets.
Got it. Yeah, those examples really drive home the pain, you know, long closes, conflicting numbers, tribal knowledge, et cetera. So I think they all point to a deeper issue. So, you know, what makes spreadsheets fundamentally, you know, unfit for managing modern IT finance? And, you know, are the challenges of spreadsheet driven financial management really any different in emerging markets, or do you see this globally?
Yeah, I think to answer this question, we have to first acknowledge that today's IT environments is a lot more complex. We're not dealing with multi-cloud deployments, hybrid infrastructures, workforce that are more global now, complex vendor relationship. And if you try to bring all this together, you find that what happens here is there's enormous amount of data that have to come together, complexity that spreadsheets simply cannot handle effectively and efficiently. Now, in one of the research that I've come across, they did talk about the fact that 88% of spreadsheet contains error and over 90% with more than 150 rows have material defects. Now, when you're managing technology portfolio worth millions of dollars, this error rates can have material consequences. Secondly, is obviously around business. Modern business demands real-time insights. Spreadsheets are inherently batch-oriented. Spreadsheets dependent organizations typically remain stuck in quarterly cycles that cannot provide timely insights. So think about the fact that if you need to make decisions today because there's a global market change in decisions and directive by different governments, this can be hard, especially if you're just looking at data from a quarterly basis. So my thoughts are this. They are more prevalent now in emerging markets because of inexpensive labors and skill sets. But I think these questions about spreadsheets does manifest elsewhere globally for less mature IT finance teams. Ideally, emerging market organizations should capitalize on learning from practitioners of mature IT finance processes so that they can leapfrog the modern solution faster than enterprise. Established companies in developed market because they are not as constrained by legacy processes. The earlier they recognize that manual spreadsheets processes will not be able to support insights and decisioning for rapid growth trajectory, it will tee them up for success.
Got it. So I guess spreadsheets were never really designed to keep pace with cloud or, you know, hybrid IT complexity like we have now. And if teams keep clinging to them anyway, you know, I think the consequences can be pretty serious. So, you know, what are the biggest risks of continuing to rely on manual spreadsheet processes?
Yeah, I feel one of the most concerning risks is around financial accuracy. It's quite common to hear spreadsheet-based financial controllers express their numbers with some percentage of inaccuracy. So, for example, they may say some things like, yeah, I have this set of numbers, but give and take, man. 3%, 2%, 5%, whatever that is. I remember coming across one unfortunate incident where the organization lost $5.4 million in tax revenue from incorrect cell reference.
Wow.
Commenting when you accidentally forget to copy one cell formula to another. While this may not be an isolated incident, they represent systemic risks in spreadsheet-dependent processes. Next, operational risk when organization is unable to respond quickly to market changes. Now, when cloud costs spike unexpectedly, or you need to rapidly assess the financial impact of a new business initiative, manual process create dangerous delays. Now, spreadsheet in itself also lack proper audit trails and version controls. Now, with increasing regulatory scrutiny and helping the accounting teams, the CFO, especially around data privacy and financial reporting, we might soon start to see auditors increasingly flag spreadsheet-based processes as high risk. Now, perhaps most critical is organizations lose competitive advantage. While technology-enabled competitors optimize their IT spend in real time and make data-driven investment decisions, spreadsheet-dependent organizations remains reactive rather than proactive. Now, ultimately, the hidden cost is opportunity cost. Every month of delays in modernization represent missed optimization opportunities. Typically, this can represent 3 to 5% of total IT budgets that could be redirected to innovations.
Got it. Yeah, that's really striking, especially the point about financial accuracy and regulatory risk. So I guess, but sometimes it takes a real world failure to make the risk tangible, like the example that you shared. So do you have another example where you could share where spreadsheet-based processes cause major issues? I guess you sort of touched on one earlier, but I thought that example was pretty striking. So any others?
Yeah, I do have one more. So I came across one where there was a large food retailer. They happened to rely very heavily on spreadsheet for all aspect of IT, budgeting, forecasting, financial management, and think about it, anything else, inventory management, just anything with numbers to do with a set of spreadsheets. But specifically for this discussion itself, they use it for financial management itself. So they started off with it. It works well, but then eventually became very problematic as the organization starts to scale. Budgeting and forecasting cycles stretch from weeks to months because organizations' demands have gone up. The finance team now spend excessive amount of time manually consolidating disparate spreadsheets from various departments. That in itself introduced a lot of delays and errors. Now, obviously, as part of it, manual data entries and reconciliations led to also mistakes, people keying the wrong thing, wrong account codes, all kind of mistakes, small formulas errors and version controls issue compounds, resulting in inaccurate forecasts and unreliable budget numbers. Now, departments head now struggles to understand their actual IT expenditure as fragmented spreadsheet processes lacks that context and visibility needed to drive business decisions. The retailer eventually wasn't able to respond quickly to changing business needs or cost spike because financial data was outdated and buried in static and error-prone files. Talk about trust. They're losing that trust with their different stakeholders, with their different team members. The organization eventually reached a crisis during a critical annual budgeting cycles. Formula errors and isolated spreadsheet revision resulted in a multi-million dollars forecasting discrepancy that went undetected until a late stage review. Most telling was this error occurred despite having experienced finance professional. In all truth, the complexity had simply outgrown their manual processes. This case perfectly illustrates how spreadsheet failures aren't just about data accuracy. They cascade into strategic business decisions and erode trust between IT and business stakeholders.
Yeah, that's an awesome, or I guess not awesome story, but the story really shows how, you know, small errors cascade into like a massive strategic consequence. I guess that really raises the next question of like, what finally pushes organizations to move beyond spreadsheets once and for all?
Now, organizations typically reach the tipping point. So there's always that tipping point. But obviously, there are probably four potential reasons why that brings them to that tipping point itself. Now, number one is about rapid scaling, whether through organic growth, acquisitions, or cloud migrations. That becomes a point where they suddenly realize that manual processes is untenable. Workload increases exponentially while accuracy decreases using spreadsheets. Now, it could also be there's a new leader that comes in, a new CIO, a CFO arrives and immediately recognize that manual processings are preventing strategic initiative. They often come from organizations with modern IT financial managements And therefore, they refuse to accept the status quo and the organizations that they have just joined. Obviously, other reasons could be maybe a major financial discrepancy, like the one that I was mentioning, or maybe there's some kind of public failures, creating urgencies that overcomes organization reluctance and resistance. Lastly, might be because of auditors, when they come in and says, man, you guys are using way too much spreadsheets. They highlight it as high risk during SOX reviews or major financials audit. This creates immediate pressure from the board and regulatory concerns that would actually add more pressures towards moving out from spreadsheet itself. Now, the most successful transformation happens when organizations recognize this warning signs early and act proactively rather than reactively. The key insight is that by the time you're feeling pains from spreadsheet limitations, you're already behind competitors who have modernized their IT financial management. What I consistently tell my client is that the question isn't whether to modernize, it's how quickly you can make the transition while your competitors are gaining advantage to better technology financial management. The organization that thrives are those that recognize the spreadsheets as a stepping stone, not a destination, and invest in a purpose-built solutions that can scale with their growth and complexity.
Why isn't traditional costing often, you know, spreadsheet driven, static, based on, you know, broad estimates enough for, you know, managing IT in today's hybrid environments?
Traditional costing was designed for simpler IT environments with predictable on-premise infrastructure. Today, unfortunately, we are not just talking about on-premise infrastructures, we're talking about hybrid environments. And that basically means spending clouds, hundreds of SaaS applications, complex interconnected services. Now, when you're managing things like AWS, Azure, Google, cloud plus on-premise infrastructures and thousands of software licenses, static percentage-based allocation become meaningless. Hybrid IT also introduced this consumption-based pricing model where costings fluctuates hourly or even by the minutes. Traditional costing relies on annual estimates and broad averages. But when your cloud bills can swing between 30 to 40% month-to-month based on actual usage, those static models create dangerous blind spots. I've seen organization budget says like $100,000 for cloud spend, only to spend $150,000 because their traditional model couldn't account for auto-scaling, data transfer costs, or usage spike. Coming back to the fact that traditional IT costing typically use simple drivers like headcounts or square footage, hybrid environments require sophisticated allocations based on actual consumption metrics, things like CPU hours, storage gigabytes, API calls, concurrent users across multiple platforms simultaneously. A single application might consume resources from maybe different clouds even, two SaaS platforms, something on-premise, storage. Traditional costing simply cannot handle this type of complexity. Therefore, this is probably something what I kind of term them as financial fog. Organizations typically lose visibility in where money is going, making optimizations impossible. And worse still, you can't even make good strategic decisions. You can't make them proactive. You end up being in a very reactive mode.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I think that's like super eye-opening. I think the way you describe financial fog really shows, you know, how outdated those static models are in a hybrid IT world. So let's just clarify something. So, you know, what does total cost visibility really mean and why is it really important now?
I just want to say is that I think the word itself already imply what it means is total cost, meaning that it has to be everything. But maybe let's try to get this with a set of definitions than my definitions. Now, total cost visibility means having a complete transparent view of all technology costs across the organizations. And that basically means you need to know hardware. Now, hardware costs, things like software, because software enables hardware to run, maybe how much you're spending on the cloud, but obviously not forgetting there are people who are supporting the operations, the IT operations, and obviously they are supporting services, network services, applications, license costs, and so on and so forth. Now, in the TBM discipline itself, this visibility is achieved by mapping financial data to standardized cost pools and IT resources, and then eventually associating how these resources support services and business outcomes. Now, why is this important in the current day and age? Because business will only face more and more increasing pressures to optimize their spend. They have to improve their agility, beating their competitors, and of course, demonstrate the value of technology investments. Without clear visibility, IT and finance team risk misallocations, run up inefficient costs, and lose the ability to align technology to business priority. Total cost transparency enables organizations to make data-driven decisions, build trust, and respond quickly in today's fast-evolving hybrid IT environments. I tell clients that total cost visibility will transform them from a cost center to a value partners, enabling data-driven decisions that align technology investments with business outcomes.
Great. I like how you framed it as, you know, shifting IT from a cost center to more of a value partner. That's awesome. So I guess, but hybrid IT is a complex, I guess, you know, multiple clouds, SaaS, on-prem systems all really tangled together. I guess, how does hybrid IT really complicate cost tracking and decision-making?
Yeah, hybrid IT would simply would imply spending across cloud, SaaS, on-premise infrastructures, and labors. Now, that in itself complicates cost tracking because it introduces fragmented, siloed spending data. Costs are distributed across multiple platforms, vendors, billing models, and some of them even have different billing cycles, making it challenging to understand the true cost of ownership for each services or applications. Additionally, IT has a familiarity with purchase price and hence has the tendency to use purchase price alone to track costs. That means how much they pay to buy something. This creates misalignment with organization financial numbers as purchase price only reflects the initial outlay for assets or services. It doesn't represent the true ongoing cost of ownership because the purchase price itself ignores factors like maintenance, support, renewals, operational expenses, and consumption fees, all of which contribute significantly to total cost. Henceforth, without the right tools, organizations certainly struggle to reconcile disparate data and allocate costs accurately. Now, decision-making becomes harder because leader lacks a unified view of cost and consumption, which can result in overspending or missed opportunity to optimize. Now, decision-making should be available on a timely basis and always be based on trustworthy data and a defensible and traceable view of spend to deliver actionable insights.
Yeah, exactly. So when costs are scattered across platforms, it's no wonder, you know, why leaders are really struggling with the decisions. But when you do get that full TCO or total cost of ownership visibility, you know, what really changes, you know, how does it improve decision making across IT and finance?
Well, with complete TCO visibility, organization can certainly perform more accurate cost-based analysis for a major initiative. Cost-benefit analysis for a major initiative. Take, for example, in IBM CIO office, they use Apptio, managed to do some level of application rationalization by identifying which applications truly support business outcome versus those that were simply expensive legacy system. Now, by having that information and using a data-driven approach, that enables them to redirect millions of dollars from maintenance to innovations. TCO visibility also reviews the true cost of application sprawl. Organizations typically discover that they spend between 40 to 6% of their application budgets on systems that deliver minimum business value. Armed with per application TCO data, they can make informed decisions about modernizations, consolidations, or retirements. That often allows them to save between 15 to 20% of application costs. TCO visibility also transform how budgeting from guesswork to science. Organization can model scenarios like, what if I migrate 50% of my workloads to cloud? Or how would consolidating vendors impact our costs? These predictive capabilities typically reduce planning cycles by 75 to 85%. Perhaps most importantly, TCO visibility enables IT to demonstrate clear business value. Instead of just justifying server costs, IT leaders can now articulate cost per customer's transactions or investment in digital capability, which will enable them to have 15% revenue growth. Okay, can I cut that part again?
Yeah.
So I'll start from this. Perhaps more importantly, TCO visibility enables IT to demonstrate clear business value. Instead of just justifying server costs, IT leaders can articulate costs per customers or investments in digital capabilities that enables 15% revenue growth. This business align language transform IT from an order takers to strategic partnership. The bottom line, TCO visibility shift conversations from how do I cut IT costs or how do I optimize technology investment for maximum business values. IT and finance team can consequentially make smarter, faster decisions by revealing the true cost, value, and efficiency of every technology investments. When costs including on-premise, SaaS, and labor are linked to business outcomes, IT leader can then analyze trade-off, assess impacts, and obviously optimize spend to align with strategy.
Yeah, that's powerful, especially, you know, the point about shifting the conversation from cutting costs to really maximizing value. So if an organization wants to, you know, get started on that path, what's the very first step that they should take to build total cost visibility?
The first step is to centralize and categorize your cost data. Organizations should identify all data sources, ERP systems, billing system, invoices, and consolidate them into a single platform. For sure, Apptio, where costs are mapped to standardized categories, cost pools, resource towers. Next, then obviously they will have to allocate this cost to specific IT services or business units using operational metrics like using usage, headcounts, or consumptions. Begin with a baseline analysis and build governance around data quality and ongoing improvements. This foundation then enables organizations to build trusted, actionable insights and set the stage for automated, defensible cost transparency and strategic decision makings.
You know, can you just share what this usually looks like when they're first starting out?
When organization begins their IT financial management journeys, common characteristics include things like their heavy reliance on manual spreadsheet-based tracking for technology costs. They tend to lean on using purchase price, what they pay when they buy a set of assets, instead of aligning with finance numbers. As a result of using spreadsheets, they tend to be very siloed in how they look at data, operational and financial data, and they tend to have very little integration between IT and finance team also. Now, in the early days, you'll find that because of the fact that they're relying on spreadsheets and because it's owned by different people, disparate data, obviously one of those telling signs is around difficulties in trying to answer basic questions about what true IT spend is, what resource consumptions are, and obviously what the values are being delivered to the business. To sum it, in summary, is they are in a reactive posture. Decisions are often made after the fact with limited transparency or strategic insights.
Got it. Yeah, that picture of reactive spreadsheet-driven processes, I guess, will resonate with a lot of listeners. So if a team recognizes themselves in that description, you know, messy data, immature tools, where should they actually begin?
Number one is you think big, but start small. Develop a list of use cases and realistically prioritize those that can provide quick wins. They should also learn to adopt best practices from frameworks such as TBM, FinOps, or even get into other user communities that Apptio has so that they can mingle with people who are doing this for quite a while. This will actually give them exposures to the different approaches for managing IT financials from the trenches itself. Now, thirdly is obviously avoid waiting for perfect data. We will never have perfect data. Data also doesn't perfect itself. So you're better off focusing on progress over perfection. Constant exposure of data to scrutiny typically will eventually improve the quality of the data. Now, I encourage first consolidating all available financial, operational, and usage data sources into a single platform. The focus on categorizing cost based on using the TBM taxonomy, where you can map spend to cost pools, spend drivers, to create a valuable foundational visibility of spend by maybe by vendors, projects, fixed assets, and labors. Rather than striving for perfect accuracy, The early effort should be focused on achieving a directionally correct numbers using a manual iterative process of validation and improvements. Now, this disciplined approach builds trust in the numbers over time and lays the groundwork for automation and continuous data quality enhancements.
Awesome. That's some great practical advice, you know, progress over perfection. And I guess once you've got a baseline, you know, one of the terms people always hear early is showback or chargeback. You know, what role do these play in early ITFM maturity?
Showback and chargeback are essential for building accountability and fostering cause awareness in early ITFM. Showback in itself involves transparently reporting IT costs to business units without enforcing payments. The good thing about that is it enables conversations about consumption and value. So essentially, no money being transferred between business and IT, but the benefits of opening up the early conversations about what they are using and the value that they're getting. Now, obviously, chargeback take a step further by allocating costs back to the consumers. Part of chargeback is about incentivizing team to manage their expenses thoughtfully. Now, Aptio itself obviously have platforms that support both models by providing clear, standardized cost view aligned to business services, helping organizations mature their IT financial governance and shift IT from a cost center to a value-driven internal service providers.
Yep. Yeah. I like that framing, you know, using cost transparency to build accountability and not, I guess, punishment in a way. But of course, I guess not every team gets it right the first time. What are the most common mistakes you see from teams that are just getting started?
There are several pitfalls that can derail early ITFM efforts. Now, number one is obviously people trying to go for perfection. Or people are trying to swim the entire ocean of use cases. I want everything. So the best bet here is obviously avoid trying to achieve perfect accuracy or complexity too early, because those will typically lead to delays and frustration. So start with something simple and then iterate on it. Now, obviously, is the data source that you have. Some people will elect on going for manipulated data like data warehouse or CSVs. I typically say don't do that because you can't trust that data. So go to the actual source of record itself, because that allows you to build trust in your models, your reporting, and eventually enabling meaningful conversations that reduces confusions or skepticism in the data itself. Using the right source of data, the trusted source of data, also avoid loss of trust eventually. Now, other things could be around ignoring the importance of cross-functional collaborations. Now, ITFM is all about working between IT, finance, and line of business. They must come together so that this program can be successful. Other pitfalls might be around underestimating resistance to cost transparency, especially in emerging countries. There are certain cultures, certain behaviors, and those pushback could actually make teams feel like maybe ITFM is all about watching what they are doing, scrutinizing their spend, and they probably wouldn't see that more like a business enabler kind of activities. Now, obviously, I spoke about this a little bit. It's like you start out with something too much for you to chew on. So jumping into complex chargeback or automation tools before aligning basic taxonomy and data structures creates confusions and technical debts. My best practice for this is to start with clear and simple, focus on building trust and engagements, communicate openly, and refine iterative based on feedback from stakeholders.
Those are great warnings, especially, you know, about not over-engineering too soon, I guess, but context matters too. You know, how do early stage teams or those in emerging markets approach ITFM differently from more mature organizations?
Yeah, based on my observation is doing it in the region for quite a number of years, this team in emerging markets often take a very limited and cautious approach to ITFM compared to mature organizations. Due to resource constraints, less mature finance and IT processes, and other pressing priorities. They tend to do much less upfront, focusing mostly on basic cost tracking or few high priority areas without aiming for full visibility or more complex frameworks. Part of this limited approach is also driven by the fact that labor costs in this market tends to be relatively inexpensive. So there's less immediate pressures to optimize labor spend rigorously. A solution to automate ITFM may also sometimes be comparatively more expensive. Additionally, the lack of skills around IT financial management and frameworks contributes to reluctance in adopting structured methodologies. Many teams feel unprepared or lacks the expertise to implement comprehensive ITFM practices, which reinforces their preference for simpler and informal approach. There's often an unwillingness or resistance to fully adopt formal frameworks like TBM, driven by concerns about, or maybe it's very hard, got to learn new things, probably got to do new change managements, and of course, uncertainty about immediate benefits. As a result, these teams rely more on manual spreadsheets or basic reports rather than investing in tools or more comprehensive and detailed cost models. Imagine market teams should prioritize keeping ITFM efforts manageable and low effort to meet their immediate needs. But as they continue to mature in their processes, they should certainly look at automating this entire process so that they can be better aligned to a broader organization's needs and obviously to be able to do deeper financial analysis.
Perfect. That wraps up our episode for today. Eugene, thank you so much for sharing your invaluable insights with us. It was great having you on. So we covered going from the breaking point of spreadsheets to achieving total cost visibility to starting the whole ITFM journey. So to our listeners, if you want to explore these topics further, head to the ITFM Insights page on apptio.com. That's APPTIO.com, where you'll find additional resources on IT financial management. And make sure to subscribe to ITFM Insights on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you for joining us on ITFM Insights.